Blog Talk Radio.
The Law Office of J.L. Hawkins and Attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, presents The Michael Van Tool Show with jazz poet Michael Van Tool. Attorney Johnny Hawkins, also known as the Warrior Lawyer, is a nationally recognized personal injury expert, also specializing in serious trucking and auto-related accidents, police misconduct, civil litigation, and probate law. Call the Warrior Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins, today at 248-567-9990. The Michael Van Tool Show is produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in business support services dedicated to building your customer base. Call 248-516-8300. And now, Cass Tech graduate, former banker, community worker, published author, and recording artist, Michael Van Tool.
Good morning. Thank you for waking up with us this beautiful Sunday morning. The Michael Van Tool Show is brought to you in part by the Law Office of Warrior Lawyer Johnny Hawkins and Ram Insurance and Financial Services and Joe Lunghammer Chevrolet, home of Regina, the Queen of Car Loans. We've got an exciting program for you today. The Sunday morning team is here. Kimberly Batchelor Davis, our lifestyle editor. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Sunday morning team, and good morning, Detroit.
Home care advocate and political analyst Henrietta Ivey is here. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Sunday morning team. Good morning to the amazing citizens of the city of Detroit.
Evangelist Christy Laster Andrews, prophetess and minister at Greater Pentecostal. Good morning, Evangelist Christy.
Good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team. Good morning to our listening audience. Let today be a great day.
Absolutely, yes. And speaking of a great day, it's a great day because the Detroit mayoral candidate Anthony Adams is with us this morning on the Sunday morning team. Good morning, candidate Anthony Adams.
Good morning, good morning. Thanks for having me on your show.
Absolutely, and of course, Detroit Spiritual Ambassador Missionary Hattie Humphreys coming up in a few minutes, and so we've got a lively, and it's going to be a quick show this morning. I tell you that we're going to have so much fun. The time is going to go by really fast. Those of you who want to buy a car, Regina, the Queen of Car Loans, is your sales rep, 248-218-9808. And she's at Joe Lunghammer Chevrolet. All right, we're going to take a station break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Anthony Adams, former deputy mayor for the city of Detroit and executive assistant to Mayor Coleman Young. We'll be right back with Anthony Adams after these messages.
Whether you're buying your first home or planning for retirement, Ram Insurance and Financial Services have got you covered, literally. We're a full-service, family-owned and operated, independent insurance agency that offers all-encompassing services for our clients. Here, we work with different companies to keep you protected. We operate through holistic planning, keeping you safe through all of life's milestones. From auto, home, life, and health, business, or retirement services, it's all about you.
At Ram Insurance and Financial Services, it's about relationships, not transactions.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can outservice me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990.
Good day, Detroit. This is Anthony Adams, and I'm running to become your mayor. I need your support on November the 2nd to push through the types of changes that will empower you in your life, that will stop the overtaxation, that will stop your basins for flooding, that will rid our city of crime, that will empower you to be meaningful in your own city. Let us not minimize ourselves in this election. Let's come out to vote in numbers. We have the power to change our lives and to do great things in our city. I am Anthony Adams.
Paid for by the committee to...
You've waited long enough. You deserve this chance. Now is the time to get the royal treatment from Regina, the Queen of Car Loans. Purchase your new car or truck at her new home, Joe Longhammer Chevrolet in Waterford.
Hi, this is Regina, the Queen of Car Loans. Let me worry about your credit and down payment. Together we'll find a way. That's my job. I want you in the driver's seat. So let's look at your trade-in, your monthly payment, and do a credit review. Let's take advantage of Joe Longhammer's wide selection of cars and trucks so I can put you in a car today. It's okay to call me right now. 248-218-9808. Even though I'm the queen, I answer my own phone.
Hurry to the new home of Regina, the Queen of Car Loans. Joe Longhammer Chevrolet in Waterford, or call the Queen's helpline at 248-218-9808. Chevrolet, find new roads. And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
All right, we are back. Our guest on the program this morning is Anthony Adams. He is a candidate for mayor for the city of Detroit, and the Sunday Morning Team is here. Of course, Missionary Humphrey is going to come up in a few minutes. Candidate Anthony Adams, you are one of the most uniquely qualified candidates to run for office in recent memory. My first question to you is, why do you think your message is taking a little time to resonate in the city? As far back as I can remember, your resume is much more complete than anybody else that I've seen running in about a decade or two.
Well, my message actually is resonating very, very strongly. We have been picking up a tremendous amount of momentum over the last 3 weeks. So we finally hit that breakthrough mark in any campaign where people really start to pay attention. Obviously, in Detroit, the mayoral election has not gotten a lot of mainstream media coverage, but people are getting the message. The platforms like yours, people are becoming inspired. The phones are blowing up, people coming in and getting yard signs, people calling the office, contacts through my website. It's really been a phenomenal experience over these last 3 weeks to really see the switch in people's attitudes about getting involved in this election.
You know, many people think your opponent is doing a good job. What are they missing? What's missing in this picture?
Well, you know, he has a tremendous PR machine that spills out a lot of information about things that he's doing. But then there's not any critical analysis to point out all the deficiencies and things that are going on. There was a recent study by the University of Michigan which pointed out the fact that we have more than 90,000 substandard housing units in the city of Detroit, in our neighborhoods where there's been lack of investment. They don't talk about the fact that over the last 8 years we've lost 11 black middle-income neighborhoods. They don't talk about the fact that we've lost more than 80,000 black people moving out of the city of Detroit. They're moving out because of high taxation, overtaxation, because we've lost income, or we aren't contracting with the city. And so the things that people need to be paying attention to, the objective metrics of what and how you measure our progress, simply is not being reported. But more and more people now are starting to wake up. His refusal to debate me has really got people thinking about why, if your record is so great and your accomplishments are so wonderful, why would you not stand on the stage and debate those issues and debate the policies here in the city of Detroit?
Mr. Adams, what will you tell supporters now with, what, about less than 3 weeks to go before the election?
We have to continue to keep the pedal to the metal. We have to continue to phone banking extensively, outreach efforts, and talking with people, letting them know what the issues are and how a change in the administration will change their lives. There is a direct connection between local politics and local issues and concerns, and people need to be much more focused on the local versus being focused on the national. Since we're close to you, we're right here to help assist in working with your problems. My campaign has been all about how we empower the people in the city of Detroit, how we provide them with the resources necessary to improve their lives, how we provide them with a pathway, for example, to productive citizens for those people that are struggling in our community. How do we create an affordable transportation system that provides the services that we need, and how do we provide affordable housing and water in a community which is desperately needy?
We've got the Sunday morning team here, and I want to go down the list and let them have a conversation with you too. And we may open up a phone line or two for those listeners who are listening on by the phone and those who are streaming on blogtalkradio.com. Henrietta Ivey, go right ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, Michael.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ian Anthony.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a quick question for you in reference to the 80,000 black families you mentioned that moved out of the city of Detroit in, I guess, in the most recent time that analysis came through. My question to you is, moving forward, what is your plan once you become mayor, and I'm throwing it out there like that, yes, I am, to encourage these families to come back to the city that they left and loved?
Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to work very hard to stabilize people actually in their homes in the city of Detroit. We have a lot of programs that are designed to bring people into the city, but we don't have any programs that are designed to actually keep people in their homes, provide them with the home repair dollars that they need, fix their roofs, fix their front porches, fix the siding on their houses. And so my emphasis is on first, let me stabilize the people who are currently living in our neighborhoods, provide them with the resources and tools they need in order to improve their lives. The second aspect of it is how do we improve the quality of life for the people who are actually in our neighborhoods? How do we go out, for example, and use what I call community intervention teams to help address a lot of the quality of life issues in our neighborhoods, whether we have trees that need to be trimmed, whether there are civil disputes, I would say, between neighbors in terms of clutter and trash. How do we go out and work with the people in our neighborhoods? And I say we'd get that done by strengthening a network of block clubs in our community. We also have to address the issue of crime in our city. And again, I believe that we're much too reactive in how we approach crime, that we've got to be much more interventional in going out and speaking with these young men and young women at risk and providing them with programming designed to give them a pathway to productive citizenship. At the end of the day, it's all about how we commit ourselves to providing a high quality of life. If we help stabilize our neighborhoods, we'll stop the outflow, and then we can begin to focus on bringing people back into our neighborhoods throughout the entire city.
And another quick question, what do you think about the educational system in the city of Detroit, and how would you involve yourself? I know that's a state-level issue, but as an advocate, and I know your advocacy work is so strong, how would you advocate with current school board members to try to maybe stand with the citizens and seeing that some of our schools be opened back up in the city? As you know, 109 schools have closed since the administration of Snyder, and I, as a parent and grandparent, would like to know how would our current administration, local and, you know, state level, will work together in rebuilding our school system.
So, and you know, and I know that the mayor legally has no, quote, direct responsibility, but he is directly responsible for advocating for the children in our school district. And to that end, I, you know, having been the former general counsel of the Detroit Public Schools, as well as the board president of the Detroit Board of Education, you know, I'm uniquely committed to public education and DPS system. But we also recognize that we have probably more than half of the children who go to school in the city of Detroit actually attend schools and charter schools. And then we do have a smattering of Catholic schools still in the city. I'm proposing that have a chief education officer, a person who is an advocate for educational excellence in our schools, to work with our school systems, with our charter schools, to ensure that they're providing a high-quality level of education. And we've also got to do some lobbying on the state level to change some of the funding formulas that have restricted the growth and really robust programming for our schools. At the end of the day, we've got more than 20, 30,000 students who are out of district attending school districts outside the city of Detroit. They're attending them because they have nice facilities on the surface. But my issue is we've got to begin to reopen our local schools and neighborhoods, provide them with the services that they need, as well as the staffing and programming that they need, so that we can attract students in our school district. At the end of the day, as a parent and grandparent, you know, we have to have robust programming. We have to have arts. We have to have music, the things that really attract children to stay in school. We've got to beef that up, and we've got to put pressure on those organizations and entities who rely upon the Detroit workforce to really put a hand, get involved in helping us do what we need to do for our schools. And you also have to work cooperatively with our school board, with our superintendent, so that they understand that there's another level of accountability out there, a political accountability that holds them to do what they're supposed to do.
Thank you.
Great.
So much.
Thanks, Henrietta. Kimberly Batchelor Davis, question or comment for candidate Adams?
Yes. Good morning, Anthony Adams. Thank you for being on the
Good
show.
Good morning. Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. So my question is, as a former deputy mayor, you understand leadership very well. However, I want you to think about past administrations that you have served in and contrast them against administrations, the administration that's currently in power. What have you learned yourself about leadership that your opponent does not have? And you said wisdom. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, the one thing we have to have in the city of Detroit is people are looking for leadership with integrity and transparency. You know, I've worked in two administrations, and I've worked probably for another two in terms of just services and projects and programs that I've been involved in. And the people in the city of Detroit have been extremely disappointed, and I'm going to say in black leadership, for a lot of the issues that arose under Kwame Kilpatrick. And they're also disappointed in a lack of transparency in the issues that have arisen in my opponent's administration. People are looking to someone who is a credible, honest person who lives with integrity and administers this city with integrity. We need someone who understands that it's not just about getting things done, it's about getting things done the right way and projecting the right image and talking and speaking to issues that people need to hear. And so I think the most important thing that I've learned in government service, we are public servants. It's not the other way around. The people don't work for us. We work for the people and the citizens of Detroit. And we have to administer that with a high level of integrity and with a high level of purpose and also with a high level of compassion. You have to be compassionate to understand where people are, what they're suffering from, the numerous complaints that I've heard over the course of this campaign trail about things not being done, about people really feeling hopeless. The mayor has to have integrity, but he also has to speak to the hopelessness which exists in our city and provide people really with a North Star of leadership that inspires them to want to do greater things in their own life and have a government that's prepared to assist and work with them in making sure that that's done.
You know, let me just say, it's just refreshing to hear such detail in answers.
Yes.
You know, yes. We haven't gotten that much over the years, but Mr. Adams, you've got the words and you say them and you answer the questions. I appreciate that. Go ahead, Kimberly.
One last question, Mr. Anthony.
Yes,
Adams.
Ma'am.
How would you address, because many of us who are Detroiters, and I am a Detroiter, I live in the Northwest area of the city. What would you propose to do about working with crime? Because crime is on the rise in the city, although people won't necessarily talk about it and the media won't talk about it. And
yes.
the increase in the crazy drivers. Drivers
oh
driving
God,
100
yeah.
miles down the street.
Yeah.
I have people at my corner who do donuts with the Dodge Chargers and the Hellcats and all of that. And we've had police presence in our neighborhood. But it's not enough. And, you know, we have lots of accidents. People are getting ran over and hit and killed. What would be your take on that, or what would your leadership be on that?
So when we talk about crime, I always talk about direct intersection with poverty and education and lack of opportunities. And we know a lot of the people that are committing crime in our community really have common traits. A lot of them have little to no education. They have little or no job skills or training. They really have little or no hope, and so they devalue life, which is why we have such endemic gun violence, because there's a lack of respect for one another in our community. What I've been proposing is that we have a community intervention force, that we have a gang intervention specialist, the social workers, the psychologists, the psychiatrists, because there is a policy of violence in our community which is very, very difficult to break, in part because we don't address the underlying mental health issues that arise from that. And so what I've been proposing is, I call it the Get Your that's his crap, but I use the other term. Get your crap together, though. A day where we bring everybody in. We bring them to Wayne County Community College, the Outer Drive, or Northwest Activity Center, where we have the social workers and the psychologists and the judges and the prosecutors and the gang intervention specialists and the job training specialists and the education skills specialists. We bring people together to bring them into the room and say, how can we help you get your life together? Because what we spend to process someone through the criminal justice system on a daily basis in the city of Detroit is a staggering amount of money. We spent more than $3 billion in fighting crime in the city of Detroit, and we haven't made an appreciable dent. So we have to rethink how we approach crime and the people that are actually committing the crimes, provide them with a pathway on how they can get their life together. I believe because of how I was raised by my mother and the goodness in man, and that if we help people get a pathway to productive citizenship, maybe perhaps we have to provide some type of stipend for them while they're in their transition period so that they aren't dibbling, dabbling in crime. That's one aspect of my whole criminal justice policing issue. I believe we got to be much more intentional. With respect to the issue of the crazy driving, you know, we have to embrace car culture in Detroit. Detroit is a car city, and they build fast cars with big engines that people like to fly through the city. The speed bumps is a cosmetic fix. It makes people, may feel a little better, but it still doesn't stop the issue. And so what I've been advocating for is I'm saying, look, we have a lot of land in the city of Detroit, and we have car companies here headquartered in Detroit. Why don't we not create a Detroit raceway, a facility where people can safely do donuts in an enclosed facility, maybe in an industrial area, where they can speed and have drag racing. I know they did it once out at City Airport, but we need a dedicated facility for that. So that if we're providing you with a facility in the city of Detroit to do what you like to do in a safe manner, then if we catch you doing it on the street, guess what we got to do? We got to forfeit your vehicle. We got to take your car.
Right.
Because we're giving you the option to do it safely. And if you don't want to do it safely, you don't want to conform, then we have to enforce the laws and take punitive action. But I'd rather offer you the carrot than the stick to provide a facility, because we've got to get people off of our streets driving crazy. They have to understand that. And we got to obviously work with the car clubs. You know, a lot of these people, they're involved in car clubs, and it's mostly a lot of the younger guys. It's not the older guys who've been out there kind of understand the game. How do we embrace our car clubs, our car culture, to say, look, we don't mind you doing what you're doing, but you can't do it, you know, you can't do it on Edinburgh.
On the street.
You can't do
it.
Yeah, you can't do it there. So let's work together. Let's move it out of our neighborhood so that you're safe, because now we're seeing accidents, people driving, blowing stop signs. I mean, there is a culture in our community that we have to begin to break, and these things take time, but it takes also a high level of communication. And it's not just a reactive strategy. Oh, we're going to send the police out one night. Think long term on how we create a facility that will provide people with a safe method. And then we can build entertainment around that. You can have rim shops. You can have restaurants. There's a lot of offshoots of things that you can do with a dedicated facility that allows us to do things safely, embraces our car culture, and allows people to do what they like to do.
Very well said. Thank you, Kimberly. Evangelist
yes.
Christy Laster-Andrews, you have a question or comment for the candidate?
Good morning. You know, Kimberly,
good morning.
Sometimes we do think alike. Kimberly really mentioned my question, and my question was going to be related to the violence in the city of Detroit. And I know that one of the programs that you shared that you would be interested in doing is bringing those social workers and lawyers and judges all into one space to appeal to these individuals to help them to turn things around. But what about those individuals that won't take the initiative to come to a facility because of different concerns that they may have? Like, what programming would you be interested in doing and meeting people where they are? Because sometimes instead of you saying, come to me, people need you to come to them and pull them out of where they are. Or is that not a part of the program, or maybe an idea in the world?
No, I think that would be part of the program. But you just jog sort of another aspect of the program, which is on the lower end of the spectrum in terms of dealing with our young people who are in schools. I have been a strong proponent of bringing these types of services in a much more robust manner into our schools, where our children are, to help deal with the traumas and the stress that they deal with on a daily basis, because our people and children are traumatized. So we have to bring it, the programming, into the schools at a very young age so that we can address what they call behavioral issues, which many times are psychological issues what our children are suffering from. But because the issues of black children are overlooked and often thought that we criminalize our conduct so early in life that we're actually creating a class of criminals. But I do believe that there is an outreach component of it, that we do have to go where people are, which is why you have the gang intervention specialists. If they don't want to come in, then we obviously are going to send our people out where people are, where they hang, and where they congregate, and to offer these services, because we're trying to help people get their lives together. And I think we've got to be really aggressive. And I use that term a lot because it's 911 time for issues here in the city of Detroit. We don't have the luxury of sitting back and allowing another generation or two to be lost. We have to accept where we are as a community, and we've got to address these issues head on. And that's been sort of the stark contrast between my campaign, which seeks to illuminate and highlight issues, versus the other guy who seeks to gloss over what's really going on in the city.
Great, great. Did you have another question, Evangelist?
No, thank you. So happy that he's on with us today.
Great, absolutely. And candidate Anthony Adams, I know we're just coming up towards the end of the hour, but half hour, but I did want to get Missionary Hattie Humphrey and connect that you with her right now. Good morning, Missionary. Mayoral candidate Anthony Adams is on the program today. Good morning. I'm trying to see if we can connect her on now.
Okay.
Yep. But as she's coming on the line, let me open up a phone line. Chaplain Kathy. Chaplain Kathy is with the Police and Fire organization. Good morning, Chaplain. You have a question or comment for the candidate?
Yes, I do. I know the candidate very well. He knows me.
Oh, great.
And, yes, last I seen when we were together at Cedric Base, proper Cedric Base, and I was singing. So, but what I would like to ask you is, what hope are you willing or will be established for those that are hopeless but yet have a right to vote and could very well vote for you? What hope do you have for them?
The hope is that we can help people in their lives. We've got to restore, I think, a level of swag that Detroiters used to have back in the day. We got to get that swag back for the people to understand that they are in control of their lives, that the role of government is to provide and assist them in giving them with the tools and support necessary to improve their lives. And you've got to speak to that. And you only got to speak to it. You also have to direct actions and resources and programming and services to people so that they can see that you're actually serious about what you're doing, because if people believe that you're serious, if they believe that you're committed, and if they believe that you're compassionate. One thing I talk about a lot is my level of compassion for the people in this city. And if you have a compassion and love for the people in this city, you're prepared to go the extra mile to speak to their issues, to be a voice for the people that are voiceless, because we have so many people whose voices are not being heard in our community. And I have to continue to speak to that, to highlight those issues so that everybody understands and is on board with the belief that I'm trying to work in their best interest. And if I'm trying to work in your best interest, then join with me to help you to work in your best interest as well.
Absolutely.
One more question.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
The other question that I would like to propose to you is, and that's great in establishing that hope, but what have you already done that folk can go back and look at and say that speaks volume to what you say that you are about to do?
Well, the talk that I'm talking is a walk that I've walked consistently throughout my entire life. Whether it's advocating for the homeless and creating holistic services and programs, whether it's working with the Michigan Welfare Rights Organization and providing and supporting keeping people who are at risk of losing their houses, whether it's advocating for affordable water policies and water rights in our community, whether it's advocating through my church and social justice ministry, making sure that we have social justice and equity, providing houses and transportation and scholarships for people. This is what I do. And you do the work not because you seek credit for it, but you do the work because the work needs to be done. And so when people look at my life and the history of what I've done over the last 40 years, it's been a testament to my commitment to uplifting the quality of life of the people in the city of Detroit, and serving as your mayor would certainly further the ability to impact people's lives.
Thank you, sir.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Chaplain and Bishop Kathy. Thanks for – all right. God bless you, too. Candidate Adams, can you stick around for about 5 minutes and for Missionary Humphrey? I think
certainly.
She,
I would not miss the missionary for anything.
Okay, great, great. And I just want to check and see if she's on the line right now. But she would be comes on in about a minute. But we're going to take a station break. When we come back, we're going to finish up with the candidate Anthony Adams, and then Missionary Humphrey will also be with us right after these messages.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle related accident? Then make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. With Johnny Hawkins, a nationally recognized super lawyer, he cares, and his primary focus is on providing exceptional service to each client, and not just winning big. For your free telephone consultation with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. Again, that's 248-567-9990. Support Black excellence by allowing Black excellence to support you through service.
Whether you're buying your first home or planning for retirement, Ram Insurance and Financial Services have got you covered, literally. We're a full-service, family-owned and operated, independent insurance agency that offers all-encompassing services for our clients. Here, we work with different companies to keep you protected. We operate through holistic planning, keeping you safe through all of life's milestones. From auto, home, life, and health, business, or retirement services, it's all about you.
At Ram Insurance and Financial Services, it's about relationships, not transactions.
Good day, Detroit. This is Anthony Adams, and I'm running to become your mayor. I need your support on November the 2nd to push through the types of changes that will empower you in your life, that will stop the overtaxation, that will stop your basements for flooding, that will rid our city of crime, that will empower you to be meaningful in your own city. Let us not minimize ourselves in this election. Let's come out to vote in numbers. We have the power to change our lives and to do great things in our city. I am Anthony Adams.
Paid for by the committee to elect Anthony Adams.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the Law Office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight. I promise you that everything
okay,
is gonna
we are back. Thanks for getting up with us and listening to us on blogtalkradio.com. And those who have dialed in on our number, our live line, 563-999-3557, listening to a great conversation with Detroit mayoral candidate Anthony Adams. And now this portion of the hour is devoted to Detroit Spiritual Ambassador Missionary Hattie Humphrey and Community Highlights, brought to you by the Law Offices of Pascal, Tashman & Walker, and Lead Attorney Cliff Pascal. You can reach him at 248-353-7750. Franklin Wright Settlements, help the child, preserve the family, and strengthen the community. You can make a tax-deductible contribution today at 313-579-1000. And now a lady who is a mentor to pastors here in Metro Detroit and throughout the Midwest, from Arkansas to St. Louis, Missouri. She's a spiritual advisor to elected officials and a resource to candidates running for public office. Her annual birthday banquet has turned into one of the most important political dinners in Metro Detroit. She's an icon to the masses, but to you and me, she's a friend you can count on in the time of need. She is Detroit Spiritual Ambassador, Missionary Hattie Humphrey. Good morning, Missionary.
Good morning, Michael, and to all of our radio and television. God bless you this morning. Let me start off by saying this, reason this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like the planet by the water, and bringeth forth his fruit in season, but his leaf shall not wither. That's what I want to start out with, Micah. God bless us, and God bless all of you.
Thank you, missionary. And on our live line with us this morning is Anthony Adams, former deputy mayor of the city of Detroit, an executive assistant to Mayor Coleman Young, and attorney, candidate Anthony Adams. Missionary Hattie Humphrey.
Good morning,
God bless
missionary.
All of you today.
Go ahead, Mr. Adams.
Missionary, first of all, I want to thank you for your service to our community. You have been a spiritual leader in upholding the highest standards of God, and I certainly want to thank you for what you do in our community. I think we've known each other probably for more than 30 years, and you're always such a pleasant soul when I see you. So thank you for what you do in our community.
And I want to thank you as a young man for having the desire to help our city to go on and to carry on, because life must go on. I'm glad you have the mind that want to do something for the whole city, for our country. You're a young man, my spirit of God, and I pray for you all the days of my life that you can carry on. You all got to carry on, because people like me be off the scene after a while. God,
no, you're not going nowhere.
Carry on the city.
Well, missionary, at 93 years old, I find it difficult just keeping up with you. Mr. Adams, I used to try to hang with her Sundays from sun up to sundown, and I had to throw in the towel. I just couldn't keep up with her.
You know, she's such a swirling dervish. You know, she's always very well dressed with the beautiful hats that she wears, her crown, and she's just a wonderful person, and she really has added a lot to the spiritual nature of politics, which at times can be a very 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 unforgiving pathway to be in.
And I know. Go ahead, missionary.
That's because I had all you searchers, Matthew. I've always had the young men and things that have carried on because I tried to stand in the way of a spiritual mother down through the years, and I think that's what helps as you all are following.
And Mr. Adams, I know we've had you on for since the top of the hour, but I just wanted to, for those who have just tuned in and are listening and got part of the interview, I just wanted you just to kind of go over and what are some of those key issues before you leave us this morning? What are some of those key issues that we need to focus on that you don't think that enough focus has been placed on for this campaign?
Well, the first thing we have to focus on really is stabilizing people in their homes. You know, people have lost more than 150,000 houses as a result of tax foreclosure, and now we're having a situation where we have another 40,000 people that are on that list. It's emergency time for people losing their homes through tax foreclosure. We have to address that. We have to address that by making sure that we don't refer houses, single-family houses with ownership, for tax foreclosure in the city of Detroit. And we also have to work to stabilize our neighborhoods by putting the resources in our communities where people need them. It's pathetic that they would only allocate $20 million for housing repair, only roofs, when the need is much, much, much more greater. We've got to put dollars and we've got to commit to keeping people in their neighborhoods. We also have to address the issue of crime by being much more interventional in our strategies on how we address and provide a pathway to productive citizens. This includes calling people in and providing a platform, as well as going to people where they are to provide them with the information that they need in order to improve their life. And finally, we've got to speak with a voice of compassion in our community, that people need to understand that they have a leader who is sensitive, who feels their pain, and is prepared to work and walk with them in spirit and grace of God, to make sure that we move our city forward.
I want to just take one more phone call. And that's from Greg Burkhart. Good morning, Mr. Burkhart. You have a question or comment for Anthony Adams, candidate for mayor of City of Detroit.
Well, I'm glad I tuned in because I'll have to admit it's been very interesting listening to mayor candidate Mr. Adams. I thank you for bringing that perspective. You know, we don't get enough of that in local politics to really see what the different candidates stand for. And it's exciting what you're bringing to it. I certainly always like people that have been with Missionary over the years because she brings a great sense and direction to all of us. So thank you, Mr. Adams, for what you're doing.
Well, thank
you. If
you
have a moment, I would talk about something a little different here, Michael, mm-hmm. if I could.
Go ahead. Okay.
Last week was a wonderful week. It was highlighted for me on Wednesday when my two brothers and my sister went to lunch with Missionary at Sinbad's. It was just a beautiful, beautiful day.
Oh, you had to tell us that story, huh?
Yeah, well, we were overlooking Belle Isle. I told many people it gave more back to me than we were able to give to Missionary. It just I thought about it all week, and we talked and prayed some, and Missionary mentioned her line that she often says, "If you worry, pray. If you pray, don't worry."
That's
it's about
right.
trusting God and let Him take care of your worries. We've heard that a lot, all of us, on these Sunday mornings. And one of my brothers made a comment that stuck with me as well. He's very close and does a lot with his church. And he said, don't tell God how big your mountain is. He already knows. Tell your mountain
right.
how big God is. And
that's right.
It's a powerful statement that is important. And what connects those things is having a relationship with God. When we talk and walk daily with Jesus, He brings us comfort, you know. And so we need to talk with Jesus every day, walk with Jesus every day. And when He is part of our daily lives, He brings us comfort, and we get more from Jesus than He can ever give us. Just like I got more from being with Hattie and being missionary on Wednesday for lunch, and it was the best thing I did all week. So
and we're
I hope everybody
of
has
you.
A great day, and
thank
being
you.
With Missionary has just made my week.
Great. Thank you, and we are envious of you because I think we all wouldn't mind having breakfast, lunch, or dinner with Missionary Humphrey. you learn so much. I'm telling you. Thank you, Greg Burkhart, for enlightening us this morning.
Thank you very much. It's a treat, and I enjoy being with Missionary, and I enjoy our Sunday mornings here.
Great. Thank you, Sunday morning
God
team member at large. God bless you. Just to wrap things up, we'll keep it on a light note, Anthony Adams. I went to your Facebook page, but I went to your website. You know, you're a flashy dresser, too, you know. I looked on one of these. I know the picture of you with this fedora and this matching cream colored coat with the, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That would look like it was for GQ magazine rather than a campaign thing, but it worked.
Well,
it's sharp.
Well, you know, it's so funny that I was out one day and I didn't have a suit on, and a guy told me, he says, man, he said, I didn't think you did not wear anything other than suits, so you actually got my vote because I thought you were a little tight. Well, I see you do have a pair of jeans and a regular shirt.
Yes.
My mother always told me, she says, you always dress nice because you never know who you're going to run into.
That is true, and at Missionary Humphrey, I know you feel the same way. You
yes,
like people
does.
who dress very well. Yes. Well, Anthony Adams, candidate for mayor for the City of Detroit, the Motor City, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and we look forward to having more conversations with you before November 2nd.
Yes. Thank you. I really enjoyed my time with you and look forward to speaking with your listeners at another date and time. Thank you.
Great. God bless you. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. That was a very enlightening, engaging conversation with Anthony Adams. And we have not we haven't had a chance to catch up. So Sunday morning team, first of all, let's go to Kimberly Batchelor Davis for the weather this morning.
Yes, good morning. It is a brisk morning. It is 38 degrees in Detroit. Today we will have a high of 54 and a low of 45. There will be scattered showers today. Tomorrow we will have more rain with a high of 55 and a low of 42. On Tuesday it will be mostly sunny with a high of 53 and a low of 39. On Wednesday it will be partly cloudy with a high of 58 and a low of 44. On Thursday, we'll have more rain. It'll be a high of 57 and a low of 48. On Friday, more rain with a high of 56 and a low of 49. And on Saturday, the day before Halloween, it will be partly cloudy with a high of 57 and a low of 42. Keep those sweaters and jackets on hand. You're going to need them this week. And that's the weather.
Great. I tell you, you guys, if you can see it from my point of view, the lines were lit up this morning, and I could just only imagine how many people are streaming online right now. But we had a great amount of listeners this morning. I do want to just let Missionary hear from some of you. Henrietta Ivy,
yes.
you got the floor.
All right, Henry.
Good morning, Missionary. You know, it's always a pleasure to sit in and speak with you. I just love our Sunday mornings together. And thank you so much again for all the hard work that you've done, your commitment to the community, just your presence in the lives of political leaders and community leaders and families all across the city of Detroit. I want to be the one to say thank you so much for that presence and being the presence in my life. So right now, you know, we are moving forward with the election. You know, to get out and vote is, so we're asking everyone to make sure they get out there to the polls and put your vote in and, you know, research your voters and your candidates and just be aware of what's going on in the city of Detroit. I had the pleasure of sitting in with the redistricting committee for the last couple of weeks. And let me tell you, Detroit have a lot of support from other cities in the way that they're redrawing our map. And that's good news because that means they have to go back to the drawing board to fix what they created or tried to create for the citizens of Detroit, excluding a lot of low-end communities as far as redistricting our map. So that's what I'm kind of involved in right now, just making sure that, you know, we're advocating for this redo of the redistricting. And getting myself ready to get out and vote, and again, making my announcement the first week of November. So I have a big announcement coming up, and I'm excited about that.
And you know you have to make that announcement here on the program too now. So I know you have some other outlets, but you got to do it with us here on the Sunday morning team, okay? Great.
You know I'm definitely going to give it here. You know I'm
okay.
Afraid to do this too.
Great. All right, Kimberly Batchelor Davis.
Good morning, Missionary. It's so good to be on the air with you. I'm going to take a note from our prophetess, Christy Laster. She always says what God puts on her heart. And God put this on my heart this morning. This is Proverbs 19:20-21. Thank you. It says, listen to advice and accept instruction so you might grow wise in the future. Many plans are in a person's mind, but the Lord's purpose will succeed. We just had an interview with candidate Anthony Adams, and what stuck out to me was he talked about wisdom. And God always talks about get wisdom, not our own understanding, but having his understanding. And so there are so many different things that are happening around us in the world, in our communities, and many people are struggling. But remember, as our Sunday morning team member at large says, and Missionary Hattie Humphrey says, if you're going to worry, why pray? But if you don't want to worry, make sure you pray. And Missionary, I think I messed up your statement, but
we got it. We got it loud and clear. We
exactly.
Yep, we understand. It was correct.
Pray and get some wisdom.
Yeah. All right, great. Evangelist Christy Laster.
Good morning, missionary. It's so good to hear your voice this morning, and I just love the Sunday morning team. Thank you, Kimberly, for that encouragement. And just to add to that, you know, the Bible tells us if you lack wisdom, you can ask for wisdom, and the Lord will give it to you liberally. It's not something that he will withhold from you. So whether you're running for the mayor's seat, whether you're the leader of the Sunday morning show, if you're a missionary, Hattie Humphrey, out here blessing people day and night, if you just ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you liberally. But another thought that was on my mind this morning, as Kimberly was sharing with us the weather report, I just want us to consider and remember those that are not as fortunate as us, and maybe they don't have a roof over their head. So if you see someone, now we have to be careful. We absolutely have to be careful. But if in some way you can give, you know, you have 10 coats in your closet and you only wear 7 of them, you had extra socks in there, or, you know, you have an extra dollar to go to Target or Walmart and buy a pair of socks for someone else. So remember those that are less fortunate season, and if you can in any way, be a blessing to someone else in this season because it's wetter weather.
Great, great. All right. Thank you, Evangelist Christy. I just want to run over a few headlines of some of stories that we did not get a chance to do news because of the interview. But an assistant director handed Alec Baldwin a prop firearm and yelled "cold gun" before the actor fired the weapon, killing cinematographer Helena Hutchins and injuring director Joel Souza, according to court documents. This gun was supposed to be a prop or have blanks. Someone had live rounds in it. This is going to be in the courts for a long time, and the lawsuits are going to be flying left and right over this incident while they were making this Western movie. So we're going to hear more and more about that. But I just could not believe that they have live rounds on a movie set. Why would you even have live rounds, live bullets on the movie set? And that doesn't make sense at all. In Troy, reports of rats are mounting in the area near I-75 in Troy. Resident Beth Carnes said she's finding the rats outside and inside her home. I saw them in my kitchen, and in the middle of the night, we hear them in the walls. She said they're everywhere. She said it's all started with the construction on I-75. They started cutting down the trees. Her apartment complex placed rat traps outside, but neighbors are also taking things into their own hands. Some have been going to Lowe's buying products to kill the rats. The Michigan Department of Transportation said the project has been going on for 4 years, and they're looking into the issue. Reports of rats along I-696 in Warren came out in 2019, so they've got some issues to deal with over there. Yes. In Florida, they want to stop planting any more palm trees because they say it's not helping the atmosphere, and they need to put other types of trees in Florida. This is one of those things that is a result of climate warming. You know, we always think of Florida as with palm trees, you know, especially southern Florida. But for them to move these, you know, palm trees out and plant other trees, it's going to make it look different in a few years. But I guess you got to take this thing seriously because global warming is here, and whether people want to admit it or not, and we've got to do something about it. Yes. So Kimberly, I see it's getting a little cooler. The temperatures are starting to drop a little bit. So thanks for updating us on the weather earlier. Before we go, I do want to, you know, as I'm going to ask Bishop Kathy to bless us with a rendition before we get off the air. As we're going off the air, we'll listen to him in just a moment, but I do want to say something about Attorney Cliff Paschal. And Attorney Cliff Pascal is our law firm here on Community Highlights, a full-service national law firm, and, helping churches and all through for over 40, almost 50 years now. And Attorney Cliff Pascal can help with personal injury, professional negligence and malpractice, probate and estate planning, labor and employment, personal matters, family matters like divorce, child custody. He's got a whole team over there that's backing him up. It's not just him. Go over there and visit one day. You'll see there's a whole team.
Right.
He's the man. He's the one, Attorney Cliff Pascal. Here's the number, 248-353-7750, 248-353-7750. And, of course, Franklin Wright Settlements. For over 140 years, Franklin Wright has benefited from the services of thousands of volunteers who have helped hundreds of thousands of people in need. And we value the work and hard work and dedication of our president and CEO, Monique Marks, and the donors and the board of trustees and the volunteers and the staff all working together, even through a pandemic. Franklin Wright has had a successful year of helping people. Isn't that something, missionary?
Mm-hmm.
And Kimberly, we're just so proud to be a part of this organization. Missionary, you have some last words to share with us before we hear from Bishop Kathy.
Yes. All I want to say to my public, trust in the Lord and do good. Delight thyself in the Lord and just give it all his word. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Just take them along with you everywhere you go, and I promise you all will be well.
What a great program this morning, missionary. I was so glad that you got a chance to say something to Anthony Adams, and that was a great conversation, and he respects you greatly. It was a great, great morning, you all, Sunday morning team, and we're looking forward to it. And don't forget, we're going to be on the Praise Network. We're going to be taping Thursday morning, and then it's going to play next Sunday morning. So let me know, text me, call me, whatever, and let me know if you'll be able to make it to the studio. And if you can't, we only have two open lines, so let me know as soon as possible if you need to be able to call in. So God bless you all. Have a great day today. And let's listen from Bishop Kathy. Bless us with the word of song, Bishop. Go right ahead.
God bless you all.
We go off the air.
Let me hear you.
Missionary, it's for you, Mama. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for having my back. I thank you for all you've done for me. Yeah, 'cause you made me a part of history. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you for that. Everything you've done for me, I thank you for having my back. I thank you for all you've done for me. Yeah, 'cause you made me a part of history. God bless you all, man. Tune in next time on the Michael Rams Hill Radio Show. We'll see you next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. He could have let me go astray. Thank God for His amazing grace.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. simply amazing. Amazing grace, it was amazing,
so very,
so very amazing. That I know about it. It was amazing.
Thank you.